Exactly a week has passed since Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 disappeared off the radar. On board were 239 people, including two Canadians. With so many questions about what happened to Flight 370 and very few answers so far, it's become one of the most baffling aviation mysteries in history. The last time the world's attention was gripped by the disappearance of a commercial airliner was in 2009 when Air France Flight 447 disappeared over the Atlantic Ocean. It took searchers 2 years to locate the wreckage of Air France. A man by the name of Larry Stone and his team of scientists were hired to help with that search. They used a complex mathematical computation known as Bayesian search theory. With a long history going back to the Second World War, Bayesian search theory has played a key role in searches for nuclear submarines, airplanes, even missing persons. But Larry Stone says he doesn't think authorities are using that theory to find Flight 370. Larry Stone joined me from Washington, D.C. Larry, welcome to Day 6.
Good morning.
How does search theory work?
Search theory, particularly Bayesian search theory, is a method for determining the credibility and uncertainty associated with information about the location of a search object in terms of probabilities, and then combining this information into the best estimate of the object's location. This estimate is given in terms of a probability map, which identifies regions of high probability for the object's location, and this allows you to allocate search effort efficiently. Additionally, there's a feedback loop. If you search in an area and fail to detect the object, that lowers the probability that the object is in that area. This information is folded back into the probability map to produce an updated map for the next increment of search effort. So this produces an efficient cycle of search, feedback, and reallocation of search effort.
So given the parameters of what we know about Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, if you were engaged to try to help to find that missing airline, what's the first thing you would do using this theory?
Well, first, I would collect all the available information about the location of the aircraft. And what you do typically is divide it into scenarios. So first scenario would be aircraft crashed soon after the last reported position. Another scenario would be aircraft turned around and went west after that last reported position. Perhaps it crashed near the last time the military radar track disappeared, 200 miles northwest of Penang. You can make up other scenarios. Plane continued flying for 4 hours. Apply that to the first two, or plane continued to fly for its maximum range, which is 2,500 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So then you look at each one of those scenarios, and you have to assess the credibility. How strong is the evidence of each one of those? And you give the scenarios a weight according to that. And then for each scenario, you say, produce a probability map for that scenario by simulation, typically. And then you combine all those scenario maps into the overall probability map. So after producing this probability map, then you can decide where to allocate your search assets. And search has taken place out there. So the next thing to do is estimate the quality of that search. What's the probability of detection? They're looking for surface debris here. What's the probability of that search act detecting surface debris if it was there? And you can then fold that into your distribution to say how well have they searched this area, and that may lower, you know, the probabilities in certain areas. Maybe in the area of the South China Sea, perhaps the search there has been so extensive that it's worth stopping there now and putting search effort elsewhere. But it's something you should do quantitatively and analytically.
But the information that you're looking for then is basically the lack of evidence.
Well, in that case, you're using that lack of detection, the unsuccessful search, is evidence itself, and you're folding that in to the Bayesian distribution to compute what's called a posterior distribution. That's one of the classic tenets of Bayes' theory.
Has anything close to that been done in the search thus far?
Not that I know of. I don't see evidence that they're using a structured Bayesian approach to this at all.
In 2010, you were hired to help with the search for the Air France plane that crashed in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. What was it that you factored into your search that other people didn't?
Well, first of all, we took all the information into account. What typically happens in these search problems, particularly complex ones, and the Malaysian search is very complex, so is the Air France 447, is that it's very hard for a human person to assimilate all this information and put it together in a good fashion intuitively. What people tend to do is focus on one piece of information that they think is the best and based their search on that. So that had happened a couple times in the previous search efforts. So what we did was put together all the information, including all the locating information about the last known position of the Air France 447, how far it could have traveled before it crashed into the ocean, information from the surface search, recovering debris and dead bodies, and all the unsuccessful search efforts that took place. Mm-hmm. And when we did that, we came up with the probability map, which pointed the French in the right direction.
Search theory has a pretty illustrious history, going back to the Second World War. Can you tell us briefly how it evolved?
Well, it started with British and American scientists developing a theory for finding German submarines. And that turned out to be quite successful and was then developed into something called search theory, which has been applied since then not only to naval searches, such as the search for the lost submarine Scorpion. It's applied successfully, but it's also applied by the U.S. Coast Guard every day in searches for people that are lost off the coast of the United States. And they have a computer program that goes through the steps that I just described to you, and they have the additional complication that the things they're looking for are typically drifting on the ocean surface, but the same basic process embedded in a computer program used every day by the Coast Guard.
So, but outside of military or Coast Guard uses, is it does it have applications in daily life as well?
Well, it's used most often in searches for people lost on land, and people get lost in the national parks of the United States, or people wander away from home, or children get lost.
Have you ever seen a case like Flight 370?
Well, it still bears resemblance to the Air France 447, but... No, this is, I think, an unusual. I haven't seen a case like this before with so much uncertainty about what happened to a commercial aircraft here. That's really, really unusual.
Larry Stone, it's fascinating. Thank you very much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
Larry Stone is a search theory expert and chief scientist with the consulting firm Metron. He was in Washington, D.C.